Leadership is taking people on a journey where there is a vision, guidance, and purpose.
Good leaders lead with the heart as well as the head.
Leadership means doing the right thing for the right reason, no matter how difficult it might be.
You're listening to Leadership Unwrapped, a podcast where you will hear from people who are living leadership every day.
Hi, I'm Niamh.
And I'm Patricia. And we've just had a great chat with Amy McKenzie, who's the Secretary General of the Postgrad Students' Union here at the University of Limerick.
It was so nice speaking to Amy. I think she really has her finger on the pulse of what it's like for postgraduate students. And as someone in that position myself, it's just so nice to hear about all the supports and the effort that's going into creating that sense of community for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just think her positivity, her outlook on life, just her way of being. She's like the perfect person that you could meet if you needed to get support. She's just spot on. So I think our listeners might find it really interesting. Enjoy. Our guest today is Amy McKenzie. Amy is Secretary General of the Postgraduate Students' Union at the University of Limerick. Originally from Canada and now living in Ireland for almost 20 years, we're delighted to welcome Amy to the podcast today. So Amy, we go back a long way. I certainly have known you over my work in UL over the years, and my experience of you is that you've been a huge champion for students, and I love that about you, and I certainly constantly think about that when students come to with issues around postgraduate supervision or whatever it would be. You certainly are the first port of call in the university, and I know that you work within a strong team. So I just would love to chat to you a bit about your leadership in that space. But before we do, can you tell our listeners a bit of your journey? What brought a Canadian to Ireland?
Oh gosh, okay, well, I can go way back. I grew up in Windsor, Ontario, so I did live in Toronto, so and I was studying music as a singer. Yeah. Way back when, and thought, I'm going to be a movie star. And told my parents, I'm moving to Toronto. And they're like, okay, sure you are, dear. And within 2 weeks, I had myself a job up in Toronto.
Okay.
Had a history of, I was a figure skater back in the day, and just went to a friend and said, do you need a choreographer?
Wow.
And he said, I do, actually. It was just, anyhow, that's how I got to Toronto. Got a job choreographing for figure skating. So, amazing job. Amazing, amazing students. I taught little kids. I taught adults. I taught junior world champion synchronized skating team. So, you know, just, yeah, the everything. And it was a really fun life. And that was Toronto. And you did a little bit of singing, a little bit of performing, a little bit of this and that. Never became movie star status sort of thing. So anyhow, I was traveling around Ireland nearly 20 years ago by myself and happened to a pub the size of a shoebox and met a person who I then followed to Ireland. Irish, yeah, from Tipperary. So, yeah, so I've been here. And yeah, that's what brought me here. And then I was a wife and a mammy. And then I wasn't. I'm still a mammy, but not a wife anymore. And because in Ireland, you don't have a lot of figure skating.
Yeah, this is true.
I would go for a job and people would say, oh, figure skating. We don't do that here. So I was like, well, I ran my own business. I did my invoicing. I sat on, you know, governing bodies. I did my publicity. You know, I did a lot of things for my job. I was self-employed for a long time. And people still didn't. They said, but it was figure skating, so we don't do that here. So I thought, what am I going to do? And a friend had brought me to the Irish World Academy across the bridge. And I thought, I could do one of these masters. And I hadn't finished my undergrad in music.
All right.
So I got into the body of my work. So I had enough letters and positive feedback from people from home and was let in and did my master's here at UL, which was just a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of, you know, part of the magic of that year was not only that building, the bubble of happiness and love, but Dr. Catherine Foley was my course director, and she's just one of the most inspirational humans, women, you know, that I'd ever met anywhere. And so it was a fantastic year. And then again, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be transferable skills. And this is going to be, you know, so the people say I have MA after my name. So she has something, she can get a job. And then the man at the time who was the president of the PSU was circulating information about becoming president, who wants to come in. So I thought I could do that job because I would have met him. And then lo and behold, I ran unopposed and got the job, was elected unopposed, and then was fascinated by the world of the University of Limerick.
Okay.
And supporting students, and just, it just, a home of happiness. I really, I'm fascinated and so delighted to be here and just can't believe my luck, really.
Yeah.
Okay. From being a figure skater, that's my journey. Is that a really good path there, girl? Sorry. But that's how I came to be here, you know, and it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And every year, the people I work with, it changes, and students change every year in the postgraduate student realm. And it's amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's a long way from Canada to Tipperary, which we...
It really, really is. And people say, would you move home? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of snow and there's a lot of heat, so no. I love it here.
It must have been challenging starting off, though, as you say, that people didn't recognise kind of what would have been transferable skills, really, just because it was a sport that's not commonly played, you know?
Yeah, and even my husband at the time, you know, wanted me to say, just get a job and, you know, doing this. And I thought, there's no harm in getting a job here doing whatever. But I knew I had more in me to give than that. And that's why I was like, no, actually, that's not. And even before that all happened, I had met Catherine and was going to be doing a master's. So that was my plan anyway.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that I really needed a job then to support my people and my children and my people. But, you know, so that it just kind of just fell into place. And even now people think, oh, figure skating. But, and yeah, it is. It's a world of its own. It's like Irish dance. Do you know, everybody in Canada learns how to skate at some point, you know, throws on a pair of skates. Here, everybody has a little Irish dance, either as primary or high school, wherever it is. Everybody does a little bit of dancing, but I worked with the elite and it was just, you know, people just saw, okay, so figure skating, but like, we don't want to do that. Like people didn't transfer any, like even I did do some bookkeeping work with an accountant in Nina for a while, but it was still like, you're like, yeah, I've got that figure skater person. I'm like, okay. Yeah. You wouldn't meet me now and go, she's that figure skater. But anyhow, it was a fantastic life. And again, like we're going to talk about leadership. And I was telling you this earlier, I was speaking to a former student last night and she said, tell them that you let me, you know. And it's, now my world is a lot of Facebook and Instagram because I have so many former students that are now, you know, they've looked for me or I've looked for them. But it's all such positive, you know, people who, I remember coaches who changed my life because of whatever reason. And I'd like to believe that, you know, in some positive way that I helped people, enabled them and or, you know, gave them support and or, like it was just, it's such a positive, I think it's a lot of where my positivity stems from comes from that and enabling and encouraging people and leading by not telling them what to do, but letting them know how they might be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. You are a hugely positive person. And even when you're dealing with difficult situations, you're still very positive. And the outcomes, having been on the other side of the table from you at times in figuring things out, the outcomes are always positive. So where does that positivity come from?
That's a good question. I think, good question. I think that I believe so strongly that we all have gifts.
Okay.
We're all so worthy of so much. And when I've met people who have been needing support, you know, they're not seeing it. Their light's been dimmed. They've been told enough times or have been, you know, they've been told no or haven't been told, yes, you can do this. Yes, your abilities are here. And they just need that support. So it's, I just think I have always been a really optimistic person. I've always been a happy person. Mm-hmm. It, like there are of course moments in my life that I've not been happy, but you know, but generally it's, and I think that we as humans need to enable everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy for me to see everybody else's greatness. Me, not so much. Yeah. Sometimes seeing my own, you know, my imposter label that's flashing over my head sometimes is dimmed, but I try not to carry it around anymore. But at the same time, especially working here, I think, oh my gosh, you know, like, how did I get here and what am I doing here? But that positivity, just because I see so, I'd like to believe that we are all just have so much to give.
Yeah.
And so many times some people have come to me, it's because somebody who they were looking to for leadership has told them no.
Okay.
Really, if you think about it, the times that we've crossed, you know, somebody who they entrusted to lead them has taken the reins. So it's, as a supervisor, my opinion, solely Amy McKenzie's opinion, you're not the driver in the bus. You're sitting on the bus for the journey and you're letting them and enabling them. And so maybe at the beginning, you're kind of helping steer a little bit. But as a supervisor, you want the best for that person. You want them to come out with a PhD and or an MA in research. And for that's going to highlight you as a supervisor, but it's also going to give them so much, I don't know, I don't even know what the right word would be, but it's going to give them so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that whenever I've met somebody who's needed that, they've needed a champion in the corner. They've needed somebody. So, and even sometimes you meet people, you think, oh gosh, you shouldn't be doing this, but you don't tell them that.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep saying, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, come to me. I am not a counselor. I'm not a, you know, I'm just the person who points you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I'm also the person who might sit in the room when you're having that difficult conversation, because I can't have that conversation unless you're ready to have it.
Yeah.
But I'm just the person who's going to sit there and hold your hand if you need me to.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to be positive because you're just, you need to, for them to believe in themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, you meet me some days with my children, you're like, oh, she's not very positive. She's not. She's very cranky. But, yeah. So, yeah. But for the most part, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we're lucky people. Yeah. I meet students every day and I think, oh my gosh, how are you here? And well done you for, you know, I'm completely going all over the place, but that's just kind of the way my brain works. But, you know, in terms of, you know, students, we are three white women sitting here, you know, I won't say privileged, but privileged.
Yeah, we're privileged.
We really, you know, I had lovely parents, lovely upbringings, lots of support. You know, I met a student last week who is getting into a master's and they've come from DPE. My gosh, I said, well done you, you know, just like, holy smokes, adversity.
Yeah.
You know, I might have had a bad day because I forgot my book at home, you know, whatever, but like, geez.
Yeah.
You know, I left Canada. Like, I didn't leave some, you know, fighting nation.
Yeah.
You know, and yet, so, you know, I could, yeah, anyhow, positivity. I'm lucky. I'm a lucky human.
And do you think that your disposition has led you? You are an advocate. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, I am.
That's the right word for you. So do you think your disposition has led you to being that advocate?
I think I'll say a fourth child. Maybe that's part of it too. I like fairness.
Okay.
I like everybody to get along. I like fairness. I think that advocating for people when they're not been given a fair shot is really important to me. Advocating for people who need that support and because I believe they are worthy and the equality is a really big thing for me.
And
yes, you might be a doctorate in or a doctor in whatever a bazillion years of study and you are brilliant and I'm not taking anything away from you because I'm just not I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But then I have somebody here who's working towards that. So let's give to them. Mm. You know, you have to find the right people to hear you.
Yeah. There's a piece around communication, I think, that breaks down. So there's a few things that go on for me. One is the pressure that's on the role of the academics. Mm. It's really busy. People don't understand just how busy it is. It's really, really busy. So, but that doesn't mean it's okay not to see the need of the other person or to lose your empathy for that other person. Mm. And actually, busyness is detrimental to empathy because there isn't enough time for you to stop up and to find solutions for those. So,
and I think too, the brilliance of all the academics here. Do you know what I mean? Like it is wonderful, but we can't by sharing the pressure. It's only enabling a student. Mm. Do you know, not taking it personally that somebody needs to move to another supervisor. It's not, it could be personal, but at the same time, it's for the betterment of a student.
Yeah.
This is what we want is everybody to leave here as a student, wanting to tell their people to come back, wanting to communicate that this is where I got my fantastic whatever I got. So I think that like enabling people to stand up for themselves and not be afraid. Do you know, I was telling this story as well, like I had a student that came in and before we left my office to go and meet their supervisors, I said, now, what if they say to you, they're out? And her jaw dropped and I said, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I said, be prepared for that. as it's worst case scenario, but it didn't happen within 5 minutes of the meeting. They both left, primary and secondary, and they said, we're out. And had I not said that, it wouldn't have, she wouldn't have been prepared for that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I would imagine in those situations, a lot of the time, it's probably not even that either party has done something horrendous.
Exactly.
It's just the fit, when you're working that closely with someone, the fit just needs to be right for it to be, you
Absolutely.
Know, an effective and positive working relationship.
Absolutely.
So it's I would imagine about the fit a lot more than those extreme circumstances for 99% of the
Absolutely. And that's the thing, too. You have to remember, like, we have 5,000 postgrads. In a bad year, I might see 10.
Yeah.
But it's also to let them know that there are options
mm-hmm.
and that there are ways of working with students to let them see what those options are.
Yeah.
Do you know, we even have a PhD in research officer now, which is fantastic.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they're part-time, but they're while they're studying and it's 10 hours and they work with GPS and they work with, well, they don't work with you, but they work, they liaise with GPS and the provost and, you know, all the different faculty. So it's a fantastic role, but again, enabling a person, you know, an academic officer who would come in for a first year, they've finished a master's, they have no idea what a PhD student in their second year is going through. So if this is a role that we solely hire, somebody who's gone through a progression panel already and knows sort of the lay of the land.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic, but it's also then enabling and giving them support directly to those, you know, so it's gosh, we're really just all over the place, girls. I'm a little bit whirlwinded here. I need to sit back.
No, it's making sense. I think the fit, I mean, I studied around PhD supervision for my own PhD a long time ago. And I remember actually a PhD student interviewing me, a prospective PhD student interviewing me to see if she wanted me as her supervisor. And it was about the fit. It was about, because I think the fit is really important.
Mm.
And sometimes personalities get along and sometimes they don't. And sometimes one way of giving feedback works for one person, it
Correct.
Doesn't work for another.
Absolutely.
So the person was interviewing me and I said, full of my whatever, I said something like, oh, I did my PhD on PhD supervision and I think it made me a better supervisor. And she said, so you think. Interview, you know? And in that moment, I thought, this is a person I want to work with.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it has been an absolutely fantastic experience. But it made me think, you know, that I'm making some assumptions about how I'm experienced and maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Right.
And that opened my eyes to not making assumptions in the process.
Yes.
Being able to have the difficult conversation.
Yeah.
How is it going? What's it like to get this feedback?
Mm.
How do I need to do it differently in a way that will work for you?
Right.
And that sometimes means more effort for me, and I'm really busy and I might want to do more effort, but that's what I've committed to. That's what I have to do.
Yeah. And I think sometimes as supervisors, you forget that you can say to them, you know what? I know I've led you this far, but I need to step out.
Yeah.
I can't actually. And that's okay. It's not nice for the student, but at the same time, sometimes it's the best thing if you are, you know, so spread so thinly. I don't think a supervisor ever takes on a candidate not wanting the best for them.
Yeah, I agree.
I think everybody is here for the right reason. Everybody, you know, but at the same time, sometimes we have to say, you know what, this isn't at the minute helping you. It's not helping me.
Yeah.
Yet sometimes I know that if I need something done, I go to the busiest person I know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because I, you know, seek a bit busy
They're
person.
A doer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, so that just depends, but yeah, like part of the where we are the postgrad union and a postgraduate students union at UL, it's the place where people we don't see everybody, but we see the people that we see that need help.
Yeah.
And it's most of the times it's very fixable.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times it is a conversation that's just needs to happen. And sometimes you'll send an email to on their behalf with their approval, you know, that you send an email on their behalf to their course director or their lecturer, whoever, and that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
The other person doesn't know, but it's letting them know that that's as simple as that, not to be afraid, we have a lot of international students who would come to us. Their education system is different than ours, and it's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. So can you speak to your, you know, course director, do you have to go to your, you know, sort of that lay of the land isn't always, so it's just letting them know that, yes, you can, if you have a question, or yes, you have a, you know, a class rep or whatever, but depending on the class, maybe there's only a few of you, maybe you don't want to tell the class rep, or there's a whole bunch of different varieties of why you could or couldn't. But for the most part, you know, enabling them, let them know it's okay.
Yeah.
So, and we could deal with people, you know, on a variety of issues. But it's also, like I said this already, but like having come from, you know, a lovely little life to sometimes, you know, my first summer into my job, I met a person who came to my desk and I had a heads up from the supervisor that they were coming to me to speak to me about something that after they left, I cried.
Yeah.
I thought, how are they still here? How are they, you know? Yeah. And then they came back to me the next day and the day after that and every day, and I put a smile on my face because they needed somebody smiling behind the desk.
Yeah.
They needed somebody not to be, you know, shocked by the story or horrified by the facts they were telling me. And they just needed, and they never, it would take them about 3 weeks to finally tell me what I knew had happened. But, it, you know, and sometimes that's all it is.
Yeah. And that's really good foresight on a supervisor's part to see that support is there.
Yes.
And to make a conduit for in the other way to make it happen.
Yeah.
So it is a reciprocal piece when it's working really well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you know, like I said, we see it for the bad things. We see such a small number of people. Like we also do a lot of social events because we want inclusivity and we want people to share experiences. And one of the things we have, you know, perhaps like we had Ramadan Iftar recently, and it was open to everybody, but at the same time Muslims came, which was the basic principle. Yeah. But also share that experience and share that, you know, bring what you know, bring what I know. Like the Holi event is hugely populated by our Indian, you know, community. Yeah. But at the same time, it is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's trying to get that inclusion and that cross, you know, bringing everybody to the same table, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's we learn so much. I come from a really multicultural community and country. And I was in Ireland, so say 20 years ago, and Charlie, gosh, there's nobody of color in this place. It kind of shocked me. And it's great that it's becoming so much more multicultural.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. And even, you know, how long ago was it? It was probably nearly 20 years ago when a lot of Eastern Europeans were coming in. People would say, oh, those non-EU. And I'm like, hello. Just because I'm white and I speak English doesn't mean I'm not taking huge offense to what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, so it's goodness gracious, where are we going about this leadership? Look at me just chatting away. Sorry.
I am looking a lot on Twitter and social media. And I know you just get one, you know, you have to discern when you're looking at it. But there's a lot of PhD candidates who are struggling, who are talking about mental health and talking about issues that they're facing on Twitter. And it's definitely different to when I was doing my PhD. There's a way more students, but there's also a lot more issues happening. So
are there more issues happening? Are there just that they're talking about it and we know about it?
Okay.
Do you know, there's a voice, there's a platform. So before you were in your own office, in your own space, I don't know the answer to this, but aren't we great and lucky that people are happy to say, I'm having a really hard time. If a man said that 20 years ago, I hate to say that, but what would you have done about it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's fantastic that people are comfortable, because as soon as you're comfortable to say, I need help, you're releasing a bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, as soon as, you know, here I sound like, you know, the man you interviewed before, and I said, oh my gosh, he's created Earth, and here I am coming, Amy, the figure skating choreographer. Like that, it's when you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable, Brené Brown, you know, when you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable is perhaps when you start saying, okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
There's not every day that you jump out of bed and say, this is today, it's great. But you might have to throw that face on.
Yeah.
But then we also need to work together. And the more people, maybe the more it's out there, we will be seeing that. We need to support these people. We need to put in place measures where there are more counselors or there are more places just to, like, there's going to be a PhD society that started last year.
Great.
Thanks to Vedant Modi, which is fantastic. And it's yes, we do social events, but this is so the PhD candidates, they meet together. It's not us organizing, and they can meet weekly, they can meet monthly, but they can have conversations between themselves, cross faculty, whatever they want. And it's really up to them to run it. But it's you know, kind of gives you a little bit more of a community
support. Yeah.
So, and there's no harm in that. Broaden that community. You know, we all know how isolating it is to do a PhD.
Yeah.
I haven't done one, but we do know because of the hundreds of people that I've met, they all feel isolated at some point. Now, I think the people in Bernal are fantastic because it's a lot of teamwork.
Yeah.
And they're a wonderful unit.
Yeah, if you're in a team, if you're researching in a team, it's different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd say still that the pressures are on each individual.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, to know that you're working with a team is great.
Yeah.
But not all faculties have that luxury.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it's like you and our PhD, so Vedant was this year's PhD officer who was fantastic. And he's just gone off and got a great job in Galway, so we're missing him already. But Louis Pemble, our VP, who is now going to be our president, they went out and they met all the different cohorts. Now, we only got a small, you know, some of them we had more, maybe 20 people. Some of them we had maybe 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's getting out there and branching out to them.
Yeah.
So that there is that support.
Yeah.
But also, you know, part of my role now is enabling the officers. So supporting them to think, like they say, you know, this is my thing this month. All I've talked about is tap dancing on Taco Tuesday. So, so let's try that. Right. You know, my job isn't to say, no, you can't do that. They didn't tap dance on Tuesdays last semester. Well, this semester we're going to. Great.
Yeah.
Do you know that my job is to say to them, yes.
Yeah.
Now, if things are crazy, I say no. But at the same time, the role of the president and vice president, it's a fascinating. I was a president for 2 years and was fascinated by the machine that UL is, that any university is. You know, I would have been a student a bazillion years ago, and, you know, I would have gone to my classes and gone to the pub and done my thing, you know, like undergrads do. But seeing it here and, like, meeting a student crying in your office to go into governing authority, like, that's a fairly broad bracket people you're crossing paths
mm-hmm.
with. And it's just, there were people who impacted my time. There were people who made such, I think, enabled me and therefore helped me know how to enable other people.
Yeah.
Did I know how to do that? Probably my other job. Probably, I suppose. But maybe that's just, I'd like everybody to be great.
Yeah. And to be empowered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is, like, just thinking about what you were saying about, you know, people being able to share those experiences and to say to each other, right, I'm having this negative experience or I'm just even having this bad day, whatever it is. I do think it's important to think about the bravery that it does take to come forward and do
Absolutely.
That as well. Like, I think it's a very different thing to, you know, even say to a friend or to a peer or whatever, oh, like, this is a nightmare. You know, I'm going through this at the moment and it's really bad. And it's a whole different thing to go to someone, like, within your institution,
Absolutely.
Actively looking for the support, you
Absolutely.
Know? So I think it does still, like, it's so fantastic that the resources are there and that there's people like yourself that are there to support that and that people know about it. You know, it's amazing. I do think it still takes that little bit of courage to get there.
I agree. And as much as we like to think we're out there, I don't think everybody still knows about, like, that there are student unions, where there are two student unions and people are here to help them. Do you know that there's a counseling department here? That there, you know, there, I think a lot of students, do you know, if you think about it, we speak English. So my orientation in the concert hall, I was, you know, my eyes, my smile, I was so excited to be there. It's my first language.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that's thrown at you those first couple of days. And if you're coming to this institution and it's not your first language, if you think about it, like, what I speak French, or did speak French back in my day, what would I take in that experience if it wasn't my first language?
Mm-hmm.
So what have I missed? So it's us pushing and pushing that we're here, mm-hmm. that we're, like, and us, a lot of it's social media, because that's sort of the trend. You know, our website is our website, but if people don't want that anymore, that's boring and old hat. So they want social media. So, you know, are they, you know, we try to entice them, you know, you could win a hoodie if you jump on our thing.
Yeah.
But do they always see it and that we are here and for things other than social?
Yeah.
So it's people having the courage, like you said, and the bravery to admit the fact. It's hard. You can see somebody struggling in, and the best thing, and this is one of the things Louis came up the last couple of days, going out and having a chat.
Yeah.
Just walking. people say, you know everybody. I'm like, I kind of know lots of people. I've been here 6 years, so I should know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I talk to people. I see people, even if they don't know me, I say hi to them, which was one of my mother's traits. She would talk to anybody. And I was, yeah. I remember as a child being so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my gosh. But she would talk to anybody. Yeah. I did the exact same thing. I think we all have that. But I chat to everybody. Do you know what because we're all just here doing our job to make this a great place.
I
think bravery, vulnerability, you know, you work with so many amazing people here, but it's also finding those amazing people.
I know
as a student, you know, looking for childcare benefit, you know, going appearing, but Sean McKillen, who was the president at the time, wasn't there. So I found Father John, who now is one of my favorite humans in the world, but crying. But I think in the first year I knew him, I didn't do anything but cry every time I saw the man.
Yeah.
And then when we finally started laughing about things, he, like, I think he just shakes his head now to think, you know, how is that same person?
Yeah.
But it was just, it was a safe person to go and speak to. And, you might know this by now, having chatted with me for a little while, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
Do you know I have no problem telling my story, and probably sometimes too much information, but that is who I am. Mm-hmm. Somebody said to me recently, you know, you should be heard before you're seen. I'm like, it's just not the way I roll. As I call out, bellow up to somebody across the courtyard, you know, and sometimes they might not be as comfortable as I am. The fact that I'm just calling out to them, but I am.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of my charm and how people would, you know that I'm okay to talk to.
Yeah. That's really important, I think.
Yeah. And I think it all feeds into as well, like kind of what you were saying, that you were like, you don't know if people necessarily see that there's that helping side of it as well as the social aspects. Mm. But I think all of that feeds into all of the support and help that's there. You know, I think it's great that they're connected, because like if you create supports and social events and things like that and create that sense of community, that's huge in, you know, a period of your life that, as you said, can be a very lonely and isolating place. So creating that creates, and like, you know, that feeds into all that positivity, that chatting to people down the hall, all of that creates the community that helps. And then people will find out, right, these are my people, this is where I need to go if I need the support, you know. So I think it's great that it's all interconnected, you know.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that that we're trying to reach out into the faculties now rather than waiting for people to come to us.
Yeah, that's good.
Is also going to allow them to, you know, they might have heard of it before, the PSU or whatever, the PSU. But now if we're there one day, a month or something, and also, it's also, you know, because the university is growing wonderfully so much, there's so many more staff that we didn't know of 6 years ago. So it's now that there's the, you know, ADRs and the ADR, you know, international AD, you know, research, and it's fantastic, but it's also getting for them to know us. And then there's turnaround because people are progressing, and so they're okay, who is that person this year? So it's, you know, it's getting to, you know, we have our key cohorts like the GPS, the graduate professional studies, who are such an amazing team, and they're so helpful to us. Even though we're separate, we work together to, you know, do things for students, empower students, you know, and they would help fight some of the fights that we need. No, that sounds really wrong, but support some of it. Absolutely advocate for postgrads because we voiced it so strongly in their ear. So that there's a two-man show going rather than just a one.
Yeah.
So, and we all know, like, an undergrad life is a different life than a postgrad life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in a 1 year master's, you're here and you're gone. So, you know, some of the social things don't really happen because you have a job or you have children or you have, some of you are you have the luxury of being here and just being to get to be a student, which is fantastic, but that's not the way for everybody. Mm-hmm. And in a PhD, sometimes you're funding yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're having to come back to the university at midnight to come and do your experiments. I know they're probably not allowed to do that, but you know, you know, there are some people who want to get in and get out as fast as they can. And some people who, you know, everybody, every single person here's path is completely different. Yeah. And it's also knowing how to negotiate that, because even if you have the same supervisor and you're both going through a problem, your path of what you want out of it and your path from what you want out of it are completely different. Mm-hmm. So I can support you in that, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the same outcome.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, and you might not want the same outcome.
Yeah.
You might want to escape. You might want to stick around. You might, you know, everybody, and they have to know that's okay. You know, it's like our path is our path.
Yeah. I think we underestimate when we start. Well, I'm making an assumption, but we can underestimate
exactly how tough a PhD is going to be.
Absolutely.
And the what it's going to be like to think that you have done something really fantastic and then get feedback on that and have to go again.
Mm.
And I'm not sure that we talk about that enough at the beginning, because you don't want to put people off either. So
right.
And that's it's not a good to start out on the negative of saying this is what you're buying into.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we're not prepared for that piece. So having the scaffold when it does get tough, there's a growing pains in it.
Yes.
So I had a good friend, and we were at a dinner party, and her partner was at the party, and when I was doing my own PhD, he said, "How's it going?" And I just went, "Oh." And he said, "You do know it's a mental Olympics, don't you?" I just kind of went, "What?" And he said, "Well, it's meant to stretch you. It's meant to push you and to find what you have in you to complete this." And I hung on to that at the times when I was really challenged, because this person just got it. They just understood it. And I hope that has influenced my supervision. But the kind of space to be able to have a community where when somebody hits that, so we're all going to hit it at some point in a PhD, that they're in the community that you and me have just mentioned, to be able to talk about that and say, it's not just me, everybody has this bump in some way about whether they can do it or not.
Mm.
And it's about overcoming that hurdle and getting finished. So if it has done that, it's working.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think you mentioned feedback. Like, feedback is so... what's the word I want to use? I don't even know. But you might say, okay, this is your feedback. And somebody might think it's personal offense. You know, and we've discovered that, you know, in supporting students throughout the time, like what one person's idea of feedback is not the next person's idea of feedback. So so some people might take it very constructively, the exact same feedback.
Yeah.
And the next person says, oh, you know, that they've hurt my soul. Yeah. You know, it's that sort of, as a supervisor, I'm sure it's really tricky to negotiate that. And sometimes you don't have the time to hold a hand. And sometimes you do, because you have to. But
I think that's what we should.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah. And again, back to enabling a student to know that you know, if they don't make it, nobody's going to know they didn't make it. But, you know, you're going to know you didn't supervise them maybe well enough.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe, so that should be part of it. Maybe, maybe not. But feedback... people have to take it and they get it but to know how somebody's accepting that feedback.
Yeah, but to learn how you need feedback yourself is the biggest part of the journey. So so I will always ask a student now, how do you want me to do the feedback?
That's good.
And somebody might say, please don't look at typos and be the moon tour pulling out the red pen there. Just tell me if the ideas are good enough. Somebody else will say, I want a robust reading of it. But I'll do what they ask me to. But I've learned that, you know.
Yes.
And how I learned it was working with a student, one particular student, and I gave them the feedback, and I write lots of comments around the work. And we usually sit and share the feedback. And I realized 2 minutes in that her eyes were glazing. I was like, this is not going to work. This is going to hurt her. And I was thinking, what will we do? And I said, you know what? Maybe, would you like to take it and read it? And will we meet for coffee in a few days and chat about it? And that's what she needed.
Yeah.
Because I had tapped into my own experience of what it was like to be sitting there to get the feedback.
Yes.
But that skill we don't think about enough. And I'm not sure I knew as a student enough to know I can ask for a certain type of feedback. I didn't know I could.
And I think that mystery of, they're my supervisor.
Yeah.
It's a big mystery. You think they're going to do something for you. So even though they might go to their, you know, PhD candidates might or might not get your mood that day. You might take it or you might not. And you might, you know, people aren't knowing that a supervisor is also a human sometimes. And that it's okay to be able to say to them, hey, I need help. Or that their shirt isn't going to get a knot if you go to the secondary. Do you know, to have that.
Yeah.
To know that, I think sometimes the supervisor is, in the student's eyes, godlike, a knower of all. And maybe they are, but at the same time, they have to know that they're a human and they've gone through the same process.
Yeah.
And perhaps were vulnerable at the time they were a student. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are some people who just want to hit the ground running, get out the door as fast as they can. And they took the back in the day, you know, 30 years ago, they took the verbal abuse because that was just what was expected. And that's the way it went, because they did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. And
yeah.
we're in a different world.
We are, you know,
good, bad, different.
Yeah.
Think of all the great things that are happening because we're allowed to be more vulnerable. Do you know, think of all the, like that, people being on Twitter.
Yeah. In a PhD, should I do this or should I do that? Or can I ask that?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And finding refuge in a huge community rather than going just to the supervisor to say, hey, can I ask you this? And the supervisor is saying, no, actually, I'm not the person for that. Yeah. Don't ask me that. I don't want to know that you don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that you don't know how to use Word, you know, something silly like that. But yeah, it I think allowing people to know it's okay to ask the questions, allowing people to feel comfortable enough and that you're going to help them on their path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know, Patricia, when we just started recording here, you were saying a lot of like your experiences together were, you know, just having a facilitate or being, you know, seeing a facilitation of a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think creating that space where you can have open communication, and I'm really oversimplifying it now, but I do just think communication is so, so, so important when it comes to, because people supervise in different ways and people do their PhDs in different ways. As you said earlier, Amy, people have different goals. You know, it's, people have different ways of giving feedback, people have different ways of writing, you know, and it's just creating that space where you, both parties feel comfortable and safe to say, this is kind of what I need, this is what I can do, right? Okay, and just come to that sort of agreement, even if it's, here I'm up the walls for the next month, realistically I won't get it back to you, being able to just say that instead of someone you know waiting or someone unsure what's going on or you know, not like that sort of way. I think it's just being able to say, right, this isn't a good time, this is a good time, this is how I do it, you know, and just everyone knows what's happening then.
Yes.
And without, as I said, trying to oversimplify it, I think creating that space where those conversations can happen and then creating the comfort between those two people that they can have these conversations is massive.
Just on that, like I had a student years ago that came to me and said, I've emailed my supervisor and emailed them and they've never gotten back to me. I said, what would you like me to do about it? And they, you know, so I gave them a couple options what we could do. And one of the options was, I can email them on your behalf, CC you in, and just see what they come back with.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted a meeting. They wanted us all to meet. So I said, fair enough. And so not that I would be part of the meeting, but I'd be there in the room to support them in this lack of communication. So I sent the email. They were still in the room when I got the response to say, we don't need you. We're good. I'm going to get back to them. So, it was just, if they had known that the person, you know, 22 emails isn't going to do it. Knocking on the door is a better fit for that person. But it's also, I think, like that, a supervisor has a billion other jobs to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are not their be all and end all. You're part of their package. They're part of their job. But they might have, I don't know how many you're allowed to have, but they might have a heap of people. And also, their world could be falling apart. They could be looking for promotion. They could. There's a million things that could be happening. They could be also lecturing. They could be. So for us to think a supervisor is just there for you, like, that's a lesson. Because, again, I don't think anybody takes on a supervisory role and hopes that the person doesn't do well.
I agree.
You know, everybody's here to enable. At the bottom line is, everybody wants everybody to leave better than they got here.
But I do think it is really worth having the goodness of fit right at the beginning, having a sense of the person, not just the content. So it's not just I'm going because they're the expert in the area, so they're the person, but having a sense of how they work and can I work in that way? And then it's what you've described. So then you're able to say, look, when I don't hear from you, I get anxious or I think there's something wrong. And the person is able to say, look, you haven't heard from me because I'm doing a funding bid for Horizon and I'm just up the walls. Something like that,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
But that space, you can do that if the fit is okay.
Yeah.
But there's a power differential in it. And it's very hard for a student to empower themselves into that space.
Absolutely. And it's like I was saying that earlier about master students coming in. But it's exactly that like they are holding the cards. You know, they're going to sign your reference. They're going to give you, a good letter of recommendation. Potentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, when do you rock the boat? So that it's a really, if you're not happy as a candidate, when do you rock the boat? And that's when people come to us. No, that's when people come and say help. So, and it's giving them, you know, saying, okay, have you looked at this? Have you tried this? Have you done this? Yeah. And say, and then actually think, oh, maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I should do this. And do you know, at the end of the day, supervisors are human too.
Mm.
So it's putting somebody in the driving seat. And it is their research. So no, I know some people are, they join a team and they join a project and that's not their personal research. But at the same time, it is their project, their portion of it.
Yeah.
So you have to leave also happy with the work you've done.
Yeah.
And that is your job. Yeah. Like you have to, it's one thing, great to get the letters after your name or the doctor before your name, but it's to be proud of yourself and be, you know, thinking of yourself like, wow, look what I have, you know, and to be able to say, and again, I know we talked about it before, but that imposter syndrome, the person who brought me to the Irish World Academy back in the day, you know, she said that she puts on her visible cape and, you know, sits in front of her camera to teach her classes or whatever, you know, I say that to people all the time. And I, you know, oh gosh, I remember the first time going to governing authority. And I thought, why am I here? Why am I here? And you know, and I, that's something I tell, you know, our officers, because your voice is really important.
Yeah.
And your voice, it's not you, your voice, it's you, your community's voice.
Yeah,
and who, what you're bringing on their behalf and what we're trying to elevate. Status quo is not what we want anymore. We want every year to be better. We want every year to be more engaged. We still have people on staff that don't know there's a postgraduate students union. We've been here for 20 years.
It's remarkable.
It is. And there's not buy-in sometimes. Do you know what? We're a different cohort of students. And yes, they're all students and they all need the same respect and they all need the same, but it's a different beast.
Yeah.
And does that sound like a bad thing? But it is a different,
it's a different, completely.
You're here. And that's one of the things, you know, I worked, you know, in my skating career with, you know, people who came and they skated and they did, you know, and it was the fun. But then you got to work with competitive kids and competitive teams and they were driven.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same for a master's, like they're here. You're not following the cattle crush. You're thinking I should do this because that's what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
A master's, it's pretty deliberate.
Yeah, it is.
A PhD is very deliberate.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm working with people who want to be here, who have, you know, I came back for a reason. My expectation, my experience superseded that need.
Yeah.
You know, what I got out of my year, it's a bazillion times more than I ever thought I would get from it and got from it. Did I say the same thing two times? That's it. I can write, but just not today. I can speak. The fact that I'm actually speaking this slowly, I hope is, you know, understandable.
Can I ask you, Amy, so I know we've spoken a lot about kind of the various different supports and needs, I suppose, in that sense, community and everything for students within the university. But I'm just wondering, what is it that draws you to this particular group of people, like supporting university students and having such a passion around that? What is it that draws you to that group?
That's a good question. Well, I think partly of what I just said was that they are people who are intentionally striving for the next academic. You know, I didn't do very well in my undergrad. I was, you know, I had come from a really rigid skating life to being quite free, no schedule, get to do my own thing. That part of my academia wasn't anything. And then when I came back, it was so, I was so hell-bent on doing well.
Yeah.
You know, and I did 1-1. I did well. I worked really hard for that year. You know, I'm really proud of myself and the fact that I just wanted to pass.
Yeah,
I just wanted to get through, and I just wanted to, and then I was doing really well. I was like, "Oh my gosh, now how do I keep doing well?" But when I started working in the PSU, like it was just meeting people who, it was. They were on a path to do something better. That, you know, they wanted a better job. They wanted a better, it's people who are intentional about being here. Especially people that come and are engaged with the PSU, you know, that people, they want the experience. They don't, like, for me, I came, I did my work, I went home, I had children to mind, I was a single parent, I had a lot of things on the go. I didn't have the opportunity to engage thankfully, the Irish Royal Academy does daytime performances, so I could participate in those and watch those. But as a single parent, and sole caregiver at the time, I had to get out.
Yeah.
So I wasn't engaged with the PSU. I wasn't, but the people that come to us, they want the experience. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really easy fit. I think it's a really easy group of people to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I think, there have been, I wouldn't even say there's been 5 days that I left thinking, why am I working here?
Yeah, it's great to be able to say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it was 2 years as the president, and then I left because you can only do 2 years. And then the next president, I always knew that it was a one-man show and you needed more support. And so I was like, even though there's a VP, I was hired in as my fancy title, Secretary General. I'm always kind of embarrassed by saying it, but it's a union. It's a students driven. It's an officer. It's an elected officer driven union. So with that, that's why the title, because that's what that basically admin and support. But I could go and get a job, and I look at other jobs and I think, you know, would I want to do this or don't? You know what? I love enabling people. The officers come and go, and there are some years that an officer can be whatever they are and we do not get along.
Mm.
But that doesn't matter. My job isn't to get along with them. My job is to enable them to do a really good job for the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't have to be their friend. I don't have to. And the same thing, an officer could be having a bad day and I say to them, you know, that's okay. You're allowed to have a bad day, but there's students out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're here for them. So, you know, like, take your minutes, take your time. But you're here for a year.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds horrible, but it's true.
No, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
Amy, I get so much energy speaking up. It's amazing.
No, it is. It always is.
It's been so nice talking to you this morning. Yeah. Are you ready for our new quick fire question?
Quick fire question.
Am I? Sure, why not?
All right, so the first thing you're wondering is a leader that inspires you and why.
Okay, so I wouldn't be a person who thinks, I wouldn't have anybody that I would sort of say, I don't have, I'm more impressed with, say, that student that I talked about earlier, who against all odds is becoming their own hero. I'm going to talk about when I was first here as a student officer. One of my favorite people in terms of their ability to support students here at the university is Pat Phelan. I think he is, now if he's listening, I'm sorry, Pat, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but he is a person who you could go to with anything and he would be thoughtful. He would think about his answer. If he didn't have an answer for you right then, he would tell you, come back. But for the better part of the time, he'd say, okay, you would leave the conversation feeling that you have more knowledge, more belief in yourself, because I think that his breadth of knowledge and his ability to take what you've asked him, disseminate it, and give you not the answer, but give you the power to answer it, is incredible.
That's really good. So for the benefit of our listeners, we're talking about one of our vice presidents at the University of Limerick, which we're really lucky to have. So, and I would agree with you, my experience of his leadership has been about empowering people to find solutions themselves.
Absolutely.
And he has a sort of an amazing knowledge of the registry system.
He sure does.
So just embodied. So he can pull it out of nowhere and know what is possible and not possible, but can then help you reflect on how you got to where you are and help you to unlock your thinking to get to where you need to
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he used to chair APRC back in the day when I would sit on that. Now, and a lot of you have the luck of not knowing what that is, but it's a really important committee at the university. But how he would negotiate that whole day of events, you know, and Paul McCutcheon would have been there chairing, and then Pat would chair for him. But it was just watching him work through that process, phenomenal.
Yeah, in a very person-centered way, very human.
Absolutely.
In his engagements.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be like me. Oh, hi. But at the same time, he'd say, hello, Amy. You know, he would know your name. He would know, you know, what you do and be very thoughtful and give you the support, and not in a way where, you know, not in a way that would be taking over.
Yeah.
He would be completely enabling you.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that, yeah, that he here at the university, for me, that just, yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you on that one, I must say. I'm glad too. So if you were to look back on your journey and your leadership of what you do, would you do anything differently? Is there any one thing you'd change?
I'd say just believe in myself more. Give myself a bit of a break.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, is it, oh gosh, and now you're going to cry now, girls. You're going to have me on every spectrum of every emotion now this whole interview. But it's, you know, just letting myself know that, you know, I'm smart. You know what I mean? I sound really horrible
smart
to say that.
No,
but it's, you know, I think, you know, I knew I was clever growing up, but at the same time, it just sounds really funny as this age of my life. But, you know, I think that believing that what I have to say is worthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody ever told me I wasn't. I don't think anybody ever said to me, no, don't say anything because but I think whatever reason I have that in me.
Yeah.
That self-doubt that, you know, people think, no, there's no way. But yeah, there's a lot of way. You know, that imposter, I keep talking about that imposter syndrome. I think a lot of us go through that, especially people who are more in the academia, world of academia.
Yeah.
I'm really on the periphery of it at this point, even though I'm entrenched here, I'd like to believe. But I think just giving myself a bit of a break and trusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
I can really relate to that, I must say. I really, when I look back on my own. So, can I change this slightly, the third question?
Of course.
So great. Thanks very much. What advice would you give a supervisor starting out supervising?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think we need to have that because you've got a lot of wisdom there.
Wow. I think probably something like I said earlier, you know, you're not driving the bus. Like maybe the first few months, you're helping hold the wheel. But you should want them to flourish in the process. So all of your knowledge has to be packed into a bundle to share with them, but it's not your knowledge that's being re-released.
Yeah.
You, as a supervisor, you're enabling, you're bringing somebody along to their journey, not your journey. So I think that's probably what I'd say is that, you know, because they couldn't do it without them. But it's not, I think that you just need to know that you're alongside them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
And if you were to do that for the student, what a piece of advice would you give? Because it's just, you have so much wisdom.
For a student, I would say just be brave and just trust your instinct and don't not ask the question.
Yeah.
And if you know... if one door is closed, it doesn't mean that all doors are going to close. So, you know, I teach EndNote as well, and I sometimes, you know, talk about the smart groups, and sometimes it gathers thoughts for you that you might not have known was a question.
Okay.
So you can set the parameters of that smart group and say, I want you to pull in 1999, anybody who talked about this, whose name is a pad, right? And it might create a whole other thought process. So don't be afraid of sometimes changing lanes. My bus driving too much today?
No,
don't be rigid. Don't be afraid of asking, you know, you are so worthy of being here. You've come this far. You're so worthy of being here. This is your time.
Yeah.
So don't let somebody else's impatience or lack of engagement deter you. You know, we don't see a lot of students, you know, leave, but at the same time, they struggle.
Yeah.
So, and struggle is part of it.
It's part of it.
As you said, it's that mental Olympics. But I think that just know that there are people here to support you.
Yeah. And find them.
And don't be afraid, you know, and it's like that thing, oh, it's a stupid question. No, it's not.
No.
Every question is so worthy.
Yeah.
So even if it as it comes out of your mouth, you think, oh, I can't believe I'm asking this question. We've all had those questions, but somebody's had to ask it for us to know the answer. And again, that door might be closed, but the next one's going to be open. And the next three might be open. Or it's just be patient with yourself, give yourself a bit of a break and work hard.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think when I look back on my own career, one door closes and you think, wow, but actually another one does open.
Always.
And if I wish I would have trusted that more.
Yeah. The Irish, a friend of mine said, what's meant for you won't pass you.
Yeah.
And I said, what does that mean? What does that mean? I think, okay, I got it. And I use that all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know, I use that for my kids. I use it for myself mostly. Really, like, it, you know, you think, oh gosh, this is happening. But it's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's and really take that breath and think, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
This too shall pass.
Fantastic. We shall end on that note. Thank you so much, Amy.
I thoroughly
enjoyed talking to you. I could stay talking to you, which I am going to do when we stop recording. But thank you so much, Amy. And thank you for all of your work.
Well, thanks very
for
much.
What you do for students. I know they thank you, but I know as a supervisor, I've had reason to thank you too. And I'm very grateful. So thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure.